We'll review the Mishnah. We'll start the Mishnah again when we started yesterday. And we'll go straight into the Gemara. Fine. Ketzat ha'edim na'astin zo'amim. How do Edim become Edim zo'amim? Simply, the Mishnah is asking that we know the Torah says that whatever the first two witnesses plan to do to the victim, that should be done to them. Right? We know the case of Edim zo'amim, right? The first two witnesses come. They say, we saw Levi kill Yehuda on Sunday in Yerushalayim. The next pair of Edim would come and say, what do you mean? You were with us in Bnei Brak on Sunday. How could you see Levi kill Yehuda? You were with us. So the halacha is, you do to the first set of witnesses what they wanted to do to the victim. They wanted him to get skila, stone, you give him skila. Whatever, exactly what they wanted to go on the victim goes on to them. So that's really how our Mishnah starts off. Ketzad, how ha'edim na'asin zo'amin? How do Edim, what's the classic case of Edim zo'amin? So the Mishnah seemingly to answer that question answers. Me'edin anu be'ish ploni, we are testifying on a certain person, which Rashi says is a Kohen, shehu, that he is ben grusha or ben chalutza. He is the son of a widow or the son of a woman who did chalitza. Meaning, a grusha divorcee married a Kohen, or chalutza married a kohen, and that makes the son called a chalal, and he is profaned from kohuna. He is not a regular kohen, and all his children always are called psulim. They're called, they're invalid. They can marry regular Israel, but they are pasul. So maybe. And then what happens? So first set of Edim come and say, we saw this woman get divorced in a certain bestin in Livingston, New York, on January 1st. Another two Edim come and say, what do you mean? You with us in Yerushalayim on January 1st. You couldn't have seen that. So in this case, what's the halacha? So here we say, Ein omrim, we do not say, Ya'aseh ze ben grusha ben chalutza. Make this person, these witnesses, into a, like the son of a grusha, the son of a chalutza, tachtav in place of him. We don't say to make him a chalal, an invalid coin, in place of the other coin, the victim. Ela, rather, loka arba'im. We give them 40 lashes. So that's the first exception to the regular case, to the regular rule. Another exception. Me'edin anu be'ish ploni, we say testimony on a certain person. Shehu chayav leglot, he has to go into galus. So you know the halacha is, right, if Levi kills Yehuda by mistake, the halacha is he has to go into Ari Miklat until the kohen dies. That's his tshuva. He has to go and do tshuva there until the kohen dies. Right, he has to go and live where the Levim live, right? Because it says brought down, what's he doing in the Ari Miklat? The Ari Miklat, who lives in the Ari Miklat? That was really the outskirts of the city where the Levim used to live. Because hopefully the Levim will rub off on him to do real tshuva. He says, what do Levim do? The Levim don't really go to work. They sit and learn Torah all day. So hopefully they'll make an impression on him to do tshuva. So he has to go to the Ari Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's usually the halacha. So two witnesses come and say, Levi killed Yehuda by mistake. We saw Levi in a car accident, go smash into Yehuda's car, he killed him, and Levi ran away, hit and run. Two Edim come to Bestin and they say this. Therefore, Levi deserves to go into Ari Miklat, he has to be exiled. Now what happens? Another two witnesses come and say, how do you see this story on Sunday, on Kvish Achad, you with us, in Bnei Brak, right? So the halacha is, you don't give the Edim galas. Ein omrim yigaleh zeh tachtav. You put this person into exile in place of the victim. Ela rather lo ka'arba'im, you give him 40 lashes. So that was our Mishnah. So our Mishnah started off saying, what's a classic case of Edim Zo'amin? And then we go and we give an interesting thing. We give a case which is not the classic case of Edim Zo'amin. Right? We ask, what's the case of Edim Zo'amin that you do to the witnesses, to them, what they wanted to be done, right? That what they plan to do, you do on them. And then you give me two scenarios where you don't give them what they plan, rather you give them malchus. So that's going to be the Gemara's first question. The Gemara says, "Ha, behold, ketzad ein ha'edim na'asim zo'amin mibayli." Meaning, it needs to say, mibayli means it needs to say, ketzad ein ha'edim na'asim zo'amin. How do edim not become edim zo'amin? Meaning, when do we not give the regular rule of kasha zama? When do we not say the regular rule to do to them what they want to do to the others, right? When do we not give the rule to give to them what they planned? That's what we should say. Because in our Mishnah, we're not giving them what they planned. We're giving them malchus. So that's question number one. The first thing is that your answer isn't the proper answer to the question. You're not addressing the question. It's not matching up with the question. My question is, I just learned the pasuk. It says, do to the witnesses whatever they plan to do to the victim. I opened up Mesechus Makos. I think it's going to start giving me the rules. Osana starts telling me backwards. Tell me interesting cases where you get Malkus so and you don't do this. That's the first question. Furthermore, is always adding on to the first question. Meaning, ve'od, and furthermore, meaning additionally, to the, like adding to the first question, midiktani lekaman, since it's say later on, aval amru lahem. Right, we have a Mishnah on Daf Hey. That Mishnah actually finally comes to explain the, what's the yes normal case of Einim Zomim. Aval amru lahem. We say to them, heich atem mi'idim. Right, what happens? This is already talking about the second pair of witnesses. They come in and say to the first pair of witnesses, so amru lahem, they say to them, meaning the second pair, says to them, the first pair of witnesses, heich atem mi'idim. How are you testifying? Sha'arei behold. But ato hayom, on that day, that you're saying that you saw the story, atem you hayitem were with imanu with us, ma'akom ploni in a certain place. Was the Mishnah on Daf Hei say, hare elu zomimin. This is the classic case of Eidim Zomimin. So what's the Gemara's question now? Why are you starting off and telling me what's the case of Eidim Zomimin? You're going to deal with that on Daf Hei. That's my second question. My first question is, you ask what's Eidim Zomimin, making like you're going to tell me what Eidim Zomimin are. Also, you switch channels. You go off the track. You start telling me irregular cases of Eidim Zomimin. That's the first question. What's my second question? Second question is, in a way, you're like fooling me that you're even starting off this introduction. What's Eidim Zomimin? What do you mean, what's Eidim Zomimin? You're going to deal with it later. Why are you dealing with it now? It's for sure the wrong place to deal with it now. I mean, the first question is your answer, then answer your question. The second thing the Gemara is saying is that what you're saying, it doesn't even make sense to start off with this question altogether. Because the Mishnah Daf Hei starts off with this question. The focus and the purpose of the Mishnah Daf Hei is to explain to you what is the classic case of Eidim Zomimin. So we furthermore don't understand why you started off like that. So it comes out like this. The Gemara's first question was that your answer is not answering your question. You start off Ketzad Eina Eidim Nasim Zomimin. You answered a different answer. So it must be I'm not understanding your question in the right way. That's the first Gemara saying. If your answer didn't answer the question, must be I'm misunderstanding the question. That's first of all, right? If you answer right, if the question was what's Eidim Zomimin, and then you tell me what Eidim Zomimin aren't, means I misunderstood your question. The answer always, whenever you learn, it's a rule for learning. You always have to see how the answer answers the question, because a lot of times when you have a question, you're going to go to the answer. It doesn't answer it perfectly, so you always have to figure out how the answer answers the question. And therefore, so a lot of times you have a question, you have an answer. So what I'm saying, you have to ask, and therefore what? So you have a question, you have an answer. That's like when the ninth grade Rebbe used to always say, you want to always ask like good questions on a Rebbe. Anytime he asks a question, he gives an answer, figure out, tell him, how does he answer your question? Every time you learn a Gemara. So the answer has to answer the question properly. And until it answers it properly, it's not a proper answer. So either the answer is not a good answer, or maybe I misunderstood the question. They have to match up. Something is wrong. My answer didn't answer the question. Either I don't understand the answer, or I didn't understand the question. So an Argamar was saying, your answer didn't make sense. I said, how do you make Eidim Zomimin? You told me a case of not Eidim Zomimin. So it must be, maybe I didn't understand the question properly, or I didn't understand the answer. But for this point, the Gemara is going to assume I didn't understand your question. Furthermore, the Gemara says, doesn't even make sense to ask such a question here. What's Eidim Zomimin? Because the Gemara Daf Hei deals with that. So the Gemara basically comes out that must be we're misunderstanding the question. Already in the Gemara's question, we realize that we did not understand the first line of the Mishnah. It's clear to us that's what has to be fixed up. Right? Because for the first question, we didn't know what was wrong. First, the Gemara asked, how does the answer match up with the question? Right? So at that point, I could have two choices. Either I could say the question is not a good question. I don't understand the question, right? Or I don't understand the answer, right? But for the Gemara's second question, we see the problems in the question. Meaning, we tell you, you know what? Your answer is a good answer. But if the Gemara already dealt with what's a normal case of Eidim Zomimin in Daf Hei, it must be that's not what we're dealing with now. So that's what comes in. So basically, even in the question, right, we understand what's going to have to be fixed up over here is the Gemara had to understand the first line of the Mishnah. Ketzad he'edim nasim umin, that has to be fixed up. Fine. That is the Gemara's question. So let's see Rashi on the Gemara's question. Let's see Rashi. Rashi on the right side where it says Gimel meant for Gemara. Rashi says, hey Gimel. Hey Gimel means, it stands for Hachi Garsina. This is the Girsa, this is the text. So a lot of times when there's complication in the Girsa, the different Girsas, Rashi writes the Girsa that he feels is the correct Girsa. What did Rashi say? Rashi said, always have to look how, if Rashi is the same as our Girsa or different, and like you have to try to understand what Rashi's, what's the difference to Rashi? You have our text or Rashi's text. Like, so let's see Rashi and try to see what's the difference of our text. So Rashi says, Hachi Garsina. Hi, Ketzad Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin Mibayale. We needed to say, Ketzad Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin. Va'od Dektani Lekaman Ava Amru Lahem. V'chulu, etc. So what are the differences between Rashi's Girsa and our Girsa? So the first one is, our Girsa says the word Ha. Rashi says Hi. The first word. Our Mishnah says, Ha Ein Ketzad Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin. Rashi says, "Hi, Ketzad Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin." So that's, first of all, that's one difference in the Girsas. Now, what exactly the difference between "ha" and "hi" is? I'm not sure myself. "Ha" is like "behold." Rashi's argument says, "Behold," it should say "Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin," and "hi" is more like this. It should really say "Ketzad Ein Ha'Eidim Nasim Zoemin." So I'm not sure exactly what the difference is between "ha" and "hi."
Rabbi Yehuda gave me an answer. He says that Rashi says the Garsina Garsina is going on the Mishnah. Is that a possibility?
No. Fine. So, anyway, that was one difference. Also, our Gemara says va'od midiktani, and Rashi says va'od diktani. Va'od midiktani means, and furthermore, from this that we learn. So Rashi doesn't make sense here to say from this that we learn. Rashi says just say va'od, and also diktani this that we learn. But that's the two girsas. You can work on it, maybe you understand more what Rashi wants. I don't know myself exactly clearly what Rashi wants of these two things. It's more like a diktuk, the two things in diktuk, but if anyone can tell me, I'll be very happy exactly what exactly the difference is in these two differences in the lashon. It's important at least to know what Rashi's the difference is, and then next step is try to figure out what he wants. But it's too like diktuk. Obviously Rashi feels it's not just like a small diktuk change. It's very important, but Shem should help us open our eyes to understand what Rashi's telling us. Fine. Let's see. So now that was Rashi just telling us the text. Now let's see Rashi. The next Rashi explains what the Gemara is saying. Ketzad ein ha'edim nasim zoemin mibayle. So what does Rashi say? Daha, to behold. Lo mekayemet behu. You're not fulfilling in them, in our Mishnah, in these cases, kasher zaman, to do like they plan. Right? Both cases in our Mishnah, you're not doing to them what they plan. Right? In the first Mishnah, you plan to make this person into a challah. The second case, you plan to put this person in a galus. We're not doing this bad. So the question was, the Mishnah should say, what's the case where you don't do to the Edom Zomimin what they wanted to do? Then furthermore, what does Rashi say? Maika ba'itana. Why is the Tana asking? Ketzad na'asi Zomimin, how do you make Edom Zomimin? Haktani lal kaman. It's really, this topic is dealt with later. We learned it and taught it later on. That was later on. So Rashi brings the Gemara from the Tafhei, in our parrot. Ketzad din zomimin, diktani, what is the classic case of zomimin? What's the rule? Diktani b'matita, we learned in our Mishnah. That what does it say? So Rashi quotes the Mishnah. Aval amru lahem hamezimim. If the mezimim say, which is the second pair of edim, heich atem edim eduze, how are you saying this edus? V'allah hitem imanu, you were with us oto hayom, that day b'makam ploni, in a certain place b'chulu, etc. So that's the Gemara's second question, that the Gemara on Daf Hey deals with the classic case of Edom Zomimin. So that's the Gemara's question. So we have two questions, and basically for the second question, we understand already that we're understanding the question are the first line of the Mishnah Rule. So let's go back inside to the Gemara. So what does the Gemara say? So we skip the parentheses. So it says, Tana Hatamkai. What's the Gemara's answer? Right, fine. So Rashi takes out the parentheses also. That's one of the sources to put this in parentheses is Rashi. So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is, so now remember, we're always going to have to answer two questions. So Gemara says, Tana Hatamkai. The Tana was going on over there. What's over there? Over there means the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So also, how do you know where the Hatam Kai, which when the Gemara says Hatam Kai over there, how do you know where it is? So a lot of times Rashi is going to tell us. Rashi is going to tell us over there. Where's over there? I'm reading a Gemara. But also, if you have a fancy like Asvahadi Gemara, usually you find like little letters on the side. Let's say you have a base, I think, on these Gemaras. That'll take you to the right, top right side, usually, by the Masoras Hashas, where it will say, tell you where this Gemara is. Like, especially in the art school Gemaras, usually they have it. They usually copy out of the Asvahadi text. So a lot of times, we figure out what the Hatam. So we're saying our Mishnah, the continuation from the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So what's the last Masechta before Makkos? The Masechta before is Sanhedrin.
We looked it up. It's the 10th parak. It's not the last.
But if you look closely, the whole last parak is with like a lot of Agarata. The last parak that deals with Halachas, Hilchas, Eidim Mizayimim is the last mission in Eidim Mizayimim. And then after that's a lot of it's like it goes a little off tangent to a lot of Agarata. I know, I looked it up because I had this issue.
The last halachic?
The last halachic.
There's no flow, really.
It is. What do you mean?
It's Sanhedrin. And it's Sanhedrin.
Yeah, no, because the last halachic Mishnah is the 10th parak. And that's where that was the end where it talks about this. After it went into the Mansur and Morah over there, it was more like.
Right, but even then, it doesn't flow.
We'll explain. It's going to flow.
It says Kitzad? Question mark. So
Rashi explains a little bit better how the Gemara is going to see, and Rashi also explains how it flows a little better. Rashi explains how to fit it in. Now, on first glance, it doesn't really flow so well, but that's what Al-Gemara wants to answer. Right, Tanoim, he was busy studying. He didn't like learn Sanhedrin, put it on the shelf, take a look at his mind, and come back Makkos like the next month. He was like, learn. That's it. He finished Sanhedrin. He went to Ben Sura more a little. Got it. So he remembered his last sugi. He was still holding it. In the end of Sanhedrin, he went straight. He's like, came to share the next day. He's coming off of the last share he gave on Sanhedrin, the last like real share before he got off like a little bit into Agarata. That's what happened. That's what the Tani is flowing into it. He didn't like us. We closed himself to put on the shelf. He learned like Tafiomi style. Finished it. Next. So that's what we're saying. This Tani is coming off of what he finished talking about halakhically in Sanhedrin. That's what I understand. I had the same question. He's saying it's not the last mission of Sanhedrin. It must be, it means that like the last thing, yeah, before it got, it's very Agarata, all the rest of it over there. If you look at all the Mishnah, it's more like Agarata. It's not like so, the less like, yeah, like a thing of that flow over there. So he's flowing it there. So Tana Hatokai, we say our Tana is going on over there, meaning our Tana is the same Tana as the same Sanhedrin. A lot of times, certain Masechtas are not the same Tana. Usually, Nashim and Ezekiel and a lot of the time are the same Tana. But there's certain Masechtas that are very different than other Masechtas. Even the flow, Mayed Masechtas, are a very different style than Nashim and Masechtas and Ezekiel. Kachim is a different style. It's different Tanaim wrote it, and each Tana also has a very different style. But this happens to be the same Tana, therefore it flows. So it's Tana Hatzavkai. Our Tana is going back on over there, on the Sanhedrin Daf Pei Tes. So what does it say over there? What's the last Mishnah in Sanhedrin that was talking about this topic? What did it say over there? Kol HaZomimin, all cases of Eidim Zomimin, Maktimin Lo Tamita. We introduce them, probably the best English translation, like where Maktim is like you go, we give them first, like you introduce them to the same exact Misa that they wanted to give, right? The Eidim Zomimin, we always give them like they plan to do, right? We meet the Kenai Mida, what they plan to do, we give to them. So every case, right? Let's say Eidim Zomimin, these two Eidim wanted to give this person Skila, they get Skila, they get stoned. They want to get this person to get Chanek strangled, they get strangled, right? Besides for which case? Chutz mizomimeh bat kohen. Besides for a case of Eidim Zomimin, when they say a false Eidos on a bat kohen uvoala. She'ein makdimin lo'otamita. We don't introduce them to the same Misa that they wanted to give, at least to the daughter of the kohen. Ela rather limita acheret to another Misa. Meaning, what's the case over there by a bas kohen? The halacha is, it's a special halacha for a bas kohen. Let's say you have a daughter of a kohen, that she already married Yisrael, and she even lost her status of kahuna. She doesn't have a status, she can't eat truma anymore, she had children, she can't eat truma. But since she's the daughter of a kohen, so her rules are much stricter. If she goes with another man now, she's a married woman, so she doesn't just get chenek, like a regular woman would get, she doesn't just get strangulation, she gets sreifa. Because since her father's a kohen, it's a much bigger chilul Hashem. It's a much bigger chilul Hashem, and much more is demanded of her. So if she went and did such a bad act, the halacha is she gets burnt. That's the halacha. However, the man that was with her, he doesn't not expect it to be on such a high throughout our journey. He's still supposed to be a normal human being. He gets chanek. But she would get straight if she gets burnt. So let's say you have a case of two Eidim come to Bestin. They say, we saw this daughter of a Kohen. We were in a hotel. We saw her going into a hotel room with this man on Sunday night. That's what they said. Fine. Two Eidim come and say, what do you mean on Sunday night you were with us in Bnei Brak? They say, you had you were in the hotel. So says, Eidim's on me. So now, these, it's an interesting case. Because these Eidim, what were they trying to do? They were trying to do two things. They were trying to get this daughter of the Kohen to get burnt, to get strafed, to get led down her throat, hot led down her throat. And they're also going trying to get this man, get him strangled. Right? So they're trying to give two punishments.
Is it just for her? Because then it has a misahir.
So there was, so now, which punishment do they get? So now, when Eidim Zomar are trying to give two punishments, which one should they get? So normally people would say, like my Chavrus Rabbi Yosef said, you should get the worst one. You should get Sreifa. If we have two options, you get what you wanted to give. The rules are always the rule. Kimla Bidrami, a president deserves two punishments. You get the worst one, give you the worst, but what should you get off easy? Right? However, Rashi is going to bring, the Pasuk says, do to you what you want to do to your brother, and not what you want to do to your sister. It says, since with your brother, to the man, they wanted him to get Chanek, so therefore they'll also only get, these Eidim will get Chanek and not Sreifa. I mean, now I'm trying to focus on this. This Gemara says right now, Rashi right now, I'm trying to stay focused, says the reason why you get chenek is because the Pasuk says you do to Edom Zomim, do to your, it says, la'asot la'achiv, and not to your sister. That's this Gemara over here. Fine. So now that was that Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says,
but in the case where the only testifying against the black Kohen is still the same, they're not testifying as well.
So then what do you do over there? Let's say they're only testifying on her. Still, what do you give them? Still give chenek. Still, what do you give them? Then what do you give? Malchus?
What's the question?
So Ruben asked a good question. Saying, over there, I read the Gemara over there in Daftali. He was talking about the case. He was going on both. I read the Gemara simplish. The case was, he was saying, meaning, it has to be, he had to be saying Eidus on both of them. What are you saying? This woman went with who? The case is, the Eidus is, you're saying this woman went with a certain man. So they're saying Eidus.
When they identify, they don't know who he is. I mean, there could be a case. They
identify
that.
Right.
Misa Harris,
that's
what it was? No, I'm saying the case over there, I don't know what would be in such a case. But the case in the Gemara over there was that he said it on both, that the testimony was on both. That was the Gemara Daf Tzadik. And we'll see in Rashi. We'll see in Rashi. The way I understood from Rashi.
We covered a similar case in Sanhedrin.
Nachon, this is from Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik. So we'll see in Rashi. Maybe I could be, well, I'll see. We'll see in Rashi the case. The way I understood the case was that there were two people in the situation. We'll see in Rashi. Could be that I learned wrong. Baruch Hashem, I'm happy. He said, the Gemara says that one of the Tanaim said, I learned from my Rebbein a little bit. I learned even more from my Chavrusas, but from my Talmidim, I learned more than everybody else. It's a Gemara. So you Talmidim, because they ask you questions, they make you, when you learn wrong Pshat, they teach you the right Pshat. So anybody wants to tell me the right Pshat, I'm happy to. Be like that guy, that Tana. The Tana is being humble. You say, what is saying? I always know better. Saying my Talmidim, I learned the most because they correct me, they teach me the right Pshat. Fine, so again. So what are we saying from the Gemara Sanhedrin? The Gemara Sanhedrin was telling us a case where you semi get the same as you plan to do. Right? That's how I understood the Gemara. You plan to give. The guy came to two Eidim come and say, this lady went with this daughter of Kohen, went with a certain man. So she planned to give, they planned to give the Eidim, Chen Sreifa, burning, and strangulation. Right? What did they get? They don't get the worst one over there. So they get chenek. So over there, we already started, twiddling a little bit with the kasher zama. That means says, we don't give you exactly what you wanted to do. Because if we wanted to give you exactly what you wanted to do, we should give you sreifa, because that's the worst one. For sure, we should give you sreifa. So we already see, we're veering off from the regular halacha. That was the last mishnah that dealt with these halachas in Sanhedrin. Now, our Tani, he's flowing right in, with one sechel to the next. He's going straight. He didn't like him. You know, his next year, I don't know if you may have seen him in between, he just like went straight in. And what happens? Then comes our Mishnah and says, see, Rashi says it as a, the Gemara is saying it as a flow, right? Then our Mishnah flows straight in. Say, that's that case. You don't get that. Misa, Ela Misa Acheres. So let's say the Gemara further. The Yesh Eidim Zomimin Acherim, you have a case where there are other Eidim Zomimin. She'ein Osein Bahen, you do not do to them Din Hazama, the rule of Hazama, Kol Iker at all. They don't give them the halach of Eidim Zomim at all. Ela Malkus. Rather, you give them Malkus Arba'im, you give them 40 Malkus. That was our Mishnah. And then you stick in the words, Ketzad Ha'edim Na'asin Zomim, Ketzad, what's the case? Right? Me'edin Anu B'Ishploni, we are made on Ishploni, Shuhu ben Gursha ben Chalutza. Then we say, Ein Omrim, don't say, Ya'aseh Zeh ben Gursha ben Chalutza. Our Mishnah says, don't say you make them a son like a Chal ben Gursha ben Chalutza, Tachtam, etc. Ela Lokatarban, rather you should hit 40 times. So basically, this Tani, he explained to us that we're flowing from the last Mishnah, but he took a few words, he switched the order of the first few words of the Mishnah to realize what he did. So the way our Mishnah says makes no sense because of our two questions. Right? We had two questions. It says it doesn't make sense that we're trying to give you the classic case of Inib Zomi. Right? We say because then you didn't give me two. You can't. Our Tana can't be trying to give me the normal cases. First of all, because you didn't end up giving me the regular classic cases. Second of all, the Mishnah Daf Hey talks about it. So it must be we're flowing from Sanhedrin. And you have to flip around a few words in our Mishnah. Right? It's the same words. You didn't take anything out. You just flipped a few words. Meaning he said, there are Edim Zomin Achirin, She'enos Ebin Azama, Elamalkos, Ketzad, Me'idin Anub Eshplani, Shomen Gur Shomen Chalutza.
It's not just Ketzad, question mark. Ketzad. How is it possible that
you
have people getting
Malkos
or not?
Fine, yeah, fine. So, Ketzad, how could it be? Because the case is, Me'idin Anub Eshplani, there's a Ben Gur Shomen Chalutza.
Ketzad is connected in the beginning.
Nachon.
The Mishnah should have started at Edim Nasim Zomin.
So the Gemara, that's the Gemara is forced to say that's really what it means. Because even though our Tana said it like this, you have to realize also that everything here was all Baal Peh. So a lot of times, a lot of Gemaras say, Tana, learn it like this. A lot of times we get stuck and we're stuck in a corner. A lot of Gemaras say, you know what, the Tana, learn it like this, learn it like that. How can we do that? Because a lot of it was said Baal Peh. So if we get stuck in a corner, it doesn't make sense what's going on. It must be the one who was recorded. Either it was recorded a little bit off, or that's really what the Tana meant when he was talking. Like when you say one statement, it can be understood in different ways. So we're saying this is really what it meant. Meaning,
if you put the punctuation.
Yeah, if you put the punctuation, the thing.
Who read a ketzah like that, as being the question mark. Who read a ketzah question mark on the topic before, it's two different things.
Ah, very good. So that's us. So if you just want to say it could still fit in even in our order. Very good. Meaning, over there we say there's a case where you do like a halfway hazama. You do halfway what they tried to do, right? In Sanhedrin, they try to give Shreifa and Chanek, right? So we don't do exactly what they wanted to do, we just give the Edom Chanek, right? Then, our Mishnah is kind of like, not only that, I have a case that you don't do to the Edom at all what they wanted to do. Ketzad. That's what Rebbe said, wants to learn Mishnah, question mark. So once you learn the Gemara, but book question mark, and that's why there's room in the box, so you could for a lot of different punctuations. Now, Ketzad, question mark, put a big question mark in the first box, on top, Ketzad. Right, so he's saying, if you have a case of Edom Zomin, fine. Yes, sir. So you want to say Ketzad, what's the case? So Me'idin Anu Be'ish Ploni, Shu Ben Gur Shomen Chalutza, In Amim Yasa Zem Ben Gur Shomen Chalutza. Fine. Everyone, when you go over this Gemara, it's important to try to fit in, understand how, after the Gemara answers, it fits back into the Mishnah. Understand? Has to fit back. Our Pshah has to fit into the words. Right? Basically, now what we're saying is, we have another case of Edom Zomin. So Ketzad, what's the case? Me'idin Anu Be'ish Ploni, Shu Ben Gur Shomen Chalutza. So that's our Gemara's Teretz right now. Fine. That's the Gemara's answer. Is the Gemara's answer clear? So again, what was our Gemara's question? Gemara's question is, you're asking me, what's the case of Edom Zomin, right? And then, you're answering me a case of not regular Edom Zomin, right? So Gemara's saying this, that wasn't my question. My question was, what's the irregular case of Edom Zomin? Meaning, in Sanhedrin, you gave me a case which was halfway irregular, right? Because at least when we're giving them chenek, at least they wanted to give chenek. They also wanted to give shreifa, but they wanted to give chenek, so we're doing. We're giving them chenek. Then he says, well, what's a case that you don't give them at all what they wanted to give? You don't give the Edom Zomin anything like they wanted to give to the victim. And that's our case, that's our two cases in the Mishnah, right? So which means our Gemara asked that the Mishnah really on Daf Hey already explains what's the case of classic Edom Zomin. So am I saying correct? That was not the agenda of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah's agenda was to tell me irregular cases. But you read the words, and our Mishnah doesn't sound like that. If you start off our Mishnah, it sounds like you're giving the regular cases. That's because you didn't learn Sanhedrin. If you would come off Sanhedrin, you'd understand the flow. We're giving you a case of a little bit irregular, and then we're going deeper into it. And what's more cases of irregular Edom Zomin? Like we're saying, what's cases of more cases of, when we're saying cases of Edom Nasa Zomin, we're saying what's more cases of more irregular Edom Zomin? Because the Gemara can only say that if we're coming off of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. If we come a new Mesechta, a fresh topic, right, and I tell you what's Edom Zoma means, so you have to tell me the normal case of Edom Zoma, right? But, yeah, you can't tell me not a normal case of Edom Zoma. But if I'm coming off of Sanhedrin, where with here at the end of that Masechta was already talking about irregular cases, so then you could flow into more irregular cases, correct? Armu Gemara is asking, right, what was the question, what was the answer in Agamara? What was Shakotai? So Rabbi Yosef is saying, good. What was the Shakotai? We thought we're starting from a Sechaz Makas, a new start, right? Chodshul Chesed, a new Chabura, we're starting new, right? So then, I'm telling me what's a regular case of Edom Zomim. So you can't tell me an irregular case of Edom Zomim, right? But now that I have, no, our Neshama's already learned Sanhedrin. We're already coming over from Sechaz Sanhedrin. So in Sechaz Sanhedrin, we're already talking about irregular cases. So now you could keep on talking about more irregular cases. And when you say Edom Nasan Zomim, I understand, since I was just coming to Shir yesterday, and Shir yesterday, I came to Shir yesterday talking about the irregular cases. Instead, my Rebbe's continuing. I'm not so surprised. Oh, he's giving me irregular cases. That's what he's talking about. So that's the Shakotai in the Gemara. The Gemara originally didn't understand we're connecting with Sanhedrin. Right? It sounds like the new Masechta. Kanwar says, no, we're connecting with Sanhedrin. There it's okay to give me more irregular cases. But let's see. Yeah, Rabbi Avraham, you know, it's good. The Shakotai. And Chazri, Chavrusa. Fine. Now let's see some Rashi's over here. Try to get some new Rashi's over here. Fine. So our Gemara's answer was the Hatam Kai. We're going on the Masechta Sanhedrin. We're going on over there. So it's like Hatam Kai. See the Rashi here, Hatam Kai. Oh, here a few lines down into the Gemara. Maybe like 15 lines down from the Rashi on the Gemara. So Gemara says, "Where's Hatam? Where's over there? Where's over there? I don't know anything. Where's over there? I don't know Masechta Sanhedrin." So Rashi always helps us. Rashi knows we don't have good bakiyas. So Rashi knows everything by heart. So he tells us all the Masechtas. It's good we have Rashi. Rashi says, Mi Sanhedrin Salik. We're coming up from Sanhedrin. In English you would say, we're coming off of Masechta Sanhedrin now. Right? The Tanan, we learned Bishili, that means in the end. Maybe pencils right down in the end. Bishili, Eluhena Nachnakin, that's the parak. We learned in the end of the parak of Eluhena Nachnakin, the who, which is Siyum with the Sanhedrin. So Rashi learned that that's the end of Sanhedrin. See, there's another paragraph that Rashi is, okay, that wasn't Sanhedrin. I mean, it was a little bit off the topic. Rashi is, that was really the end of the real Masechta Sanhedrin before we got into the Agadah. Maybe that was like the Hilchos Sanhedrin. That's how I understood Rashi. Right? Rashi knows there was more Gemaras after that. Rashi knew. So he knew we're in Sanhedrin. He probably knew there was more Gemaras after that.
Maybe
because it's
the end of the
Mises. Maybe the end of the Mises, he's saying that, like that core, that focusing is maybe the Yesh Zemimin, there are Zemimin. So what do we say over there? There are cases of Edom Zemimin. She Nishtanu is like Nishtane. It was changed, the Miktat, a little bit, Midin Hazama, from the general rule of Hazama. Kediktani, like we learned. Kol Hazamimin, the regular cases, all Zemimin, Makdimin, they're introduced, Lo'otamita, to the same Misa. Klomar, meaning to say, Rashi, what does that mean? And then Letzapot Mita Acher. They shouldn't hope they're getting a different Misa. If they said Eidus on a guy, they're going to get Skila, they shouldn't start hoping maybe we're going to get something more lenient, right? Don't hope for any, you know, not letting you off, Rashi says. Ella, rather, Mashkimim, the Otamita, we give them, like we, anyway, we mean like we give, we also, it's like in English, you also like we introduce them, like Mashkim is like we give them, like we get up early, like we Mashkim to them. So Tamita to the same Misa, Shnigbar ba that Dino Shalnidon, that the din was finished of the victim. Whatever the victim, we said the victim's going to get, that's what they're going to get. That's the general rule. Except for which case? Except for Chutz Mizomei Bat Kohen Nesua, the daughter of a Kohen who was a married woman, right, after she got married. She'af alpi, that even though Shnigmar Dina Lisreifa, her Gmar Din was Sreifa, right? They already, the two witnesses said, we saw this daughter of a Kohen go in a hotel room with this man. They brought it the best thing, and they asked the Edom. They already say, "You know what, lady? You're getting strafe. You're getting burnt tomorrow, right? We're pouring down the lead down your throat." Apihem through their mouth. So usually, the Edom Zomim should get, if they wanted to give her strafe, they should get strafe. Heim bechanek, they get chanek. They get strangulation. Why? The alfin and hatam, like we learned over there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik. He bestrafe because we know the halacha is she gets strafe, the daughter of the Kohen. Because the pasuk says he tisrof, so the Gemara makes a drasha that the Torah says specifically she gets burned. Ve'ein bo'al la b'sreifa, the person who was with her, the bo'el does not get sreifa. He does not get burned.
The bo'el was a kohen.
Doesn't matter. Even if he was a kohen, he does not get burned. There's a special. I don't know. There's a special halacha for a bas kohen. If he was a kohen, I don't know if he'll get burned either. The special halacha was for the daughter of a kohen that she Yeah, the daughter of the prophet says he tisruf. The pasuk says she should get burned. So we make a drasha, only she gets burned, and even though he did a very bad act, she has to be at a very high level. She's the daughter of a kohen. Him, he, it does. So it's a good question. I don't know if he was a kohen. But it's a certain thing that she made herself hefker. She, like, for a kohen, it's not like for the lady is much worse than the man for some reason. For a woman to be mafker herself, to make herself hefker, to just, you know, make herself so low, to make herself hefker, is much worse than the man. It's considered much worse. She gets reifa.
The men are already low.
Yeah, the men are already messed up. But the ladies, to be mafker, it's considered a very bad act that she made herself into hefker. She made herself just free. It's very bad. So, ela b'chenik. Rather, he gets chenik. Kasha'ar ishet ish, like any other time he goes with a married woman, he also gets chenik. The zomu we introduce them to the misa shechayvot haboel, which the man gets, the boel gets, the man who is with the woman. Dichtiv, like the pasuk says, kasher zamam lasod laachiv. We give to them like they plan to do with their brother velo laachoto. How do we know they get chenek, the more lenient punishment, and not shreifa? They were trying to give two punishments over here, right? They were trying to give the woman shreifa to get burned, right? The daughter of the kohen shreifa, and the man chenek. Say no, they get the more lenient one. Why? We have a special pasuk that they get what they tried to do to their brother and not what they tried to do to their sister.
In this case,
the kohen is more lenient. The ka'amar hacha. So now our Mishnah comes in. Our Gemara Mishnah comes in. Continues. Od yesh zomimin achirim. There are also more cases of zomimin. Other cases she'ein mekaimin that we do not fulfill behen them din hazama, the rule of hazama klal at all. Ela malkut. Rather, we only give malkus. That our Mishnah comes to explain. Ketzad, what's the cases of otan ha'edim, those edim she'in mekayimin din hazama, those cases that you don't do hazama. Now, since though I mean ketzad otan ha'edim she'in mekayimin din hazama, now since though I mean, what's the case where you don't do hazama? How do they become zomim? Meidin anubesh ploni, etc. So Rashi is learning, reading the words of the Mishnah like this. Rashi helps us with the words. When Amish says Ketzad, what's it saying? It's not saying Ketzad, right? When we read Ketzad, what do we read Ketzad as? We're reading Ketzad, what's the case that you make Zonim? Rather saying Ketzad, what's the case that you don't make Zonim? Ketzad, what's the case of the Eidim that you don't do the Din HaZama? How do they become Eidim Zonim? So Rashi reads the words Ketzad HaEidim. Then he has to add in, what's the case of the Eidim that you don't do HaZama? Na'asim Zonim. But only once you understand that we're coming off of the last Mishnah, you understand to add the words. So to speak, like you make like a addition. Our Mishnah you read Ketzad Eidim. How did Eidim not get the regular Din HaZama? And that our Mishnah says, fine, Baruch Hashem. So that's at least now we understand a little bit. So tomorrow everyone should try to review this Gemara. It's very important. How to understand how the Gemara's answer goes back. This last Rashi helps us to how the Gemara's answer goes back into the Mishnah. How you read this new pshat into our Mishnah. We're getting a whole new pshat in our Mishnah. How reads it into the Mishnah. And tomorrow, Rosh Hashem, we're going to try to do the Minan immediately with the next Kal V'chomer until the next two das. Try to go it over with the Rashi's. That's tomorrow's assignment. Thank you.